The other day, my mom said to me, she said, when is the moment of your life where you feel the most loved? And I was like, the day you hospitalized me.
What?
Did you feel it then?
No.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
It's crazy when you think about the memories that you have as a kid. Mm. And one of the memories that stands out to me, my sister and I were best friends. We slept in a full-size bed of our years growing up.
And she's not kidding.
She's 6.5 years older. I didn't know it at the time, and she didn't know it about me, but both of us had been abused sexually. But my sister had an eating disorder. The thing that I remember most is she was bulimic. Mm-hmm. And so she would binge, and she'd say to me, Ann, go in the kitchen and get, and she'd name all the foods to get. And so I'd bring them into the bedroom and we'd put them on the bed and we'd have this picnic at like midnight. And we would gorge. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how can she eat this much? I think I was probably 9.
Wow.
And I would eat and eat and eat, not knowing that she was getting rid of it by throwing up. But we would do that over and over, and I didn't even know what bulimia was.
So interesting.
But then I started catching her throwing up, even on vacations. We'd camp, and she'd go into the woods. And then her bulimia at one point turned to anorexia.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Jesus do the most amazing transformation in her life. And a lot of the evidence that I saw was her becoming whole, her becoming healthy. And really, God just took away, which was miraculous because it doesn't happen very often that God just removes that eating disorder that's been in place for years.
Yeah.
And I bring that up as a memory because we're going to dive into this, re-dive into this today.
Yeah.
If you're a parent, you better listen.
Yeah, totally.
Because you're hearing a mom and a daughter over here. That's Rachel Faulkner Brown and her daughter, Campbell, who's by the time this comes out, you'll be 16.
I will be 16.
And so we started yesterday talking about your journey with this eating disorder.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep going because I'm sitting there as a dad who never had daughters, but man, oh man, every dad, every mom needs to listen to every son and daughter needs to listen to this. This
isn't just 100%.
I mean, I was learning things yesterday I've never even thought of. But, you know, I want to go one place we didn't spend a lot of time in yesterday and then jump from there.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in that hospital room and you're thinking you're going to lose Campbell.
Oh, yeah. All the things that you know, they're there. And I remember Karen, you know, I would just call her and just wail because Campbell was having such a hard time during meals and she couldn't finish the meals in the hospital. And so she would have to take a supplement because she was so weak and so low and her heart rate was in the 40s and the buzzers were going off all night and we weren't sleeping. It was terrible.
I was.
Heart rate in the 40s.
Heart rate in the 40s, which is, you know, typically they do like paddles, you know, about that. And so it was consistently low. And
how did you know to get her hospitalized?
So basically leading up to the hospital, I'd say I got diagnosed with anorexia nervosa on August 31st of 2022. Hmm. So my doctor was already pretty aware of it. And at that point, it really actually wasn't terrible at that point. My eating disorder had not.
And when the doctor said to you, Campbell, you have anorexia, what was your response? What did you think?
So I don't think they actually ever like said that.
They didn't say those
They
words.
Never said those words to me.
They said you have an eating disorder.
I think you have an eating disorder. And, you know, it's not that bad right now, but like it gets bad, there's places for people like you.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I knew. 100% I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? Yeah, I never noticed.
But it's like, not like an alcoholic that says, I have a drinking problem.
Yeah. I knew.
I was the problem. I mean, here, this is the reality. And this is one of my main things that I would tell parents is your gut knows your child has a problem.
my intuition knew I was trying to make it a thyroid issue because I was just like,
oh, yeah.
She's a chef. She likes to cook. She makes like treats every week for her friends and she helps me cook dinner and she loves to buy the groceries. I was like, there's no way like my kid could have an eating disorder. Like, I was just like, it's incongruent. And so I think at the same time, I knew. And so there was a friend that had called Campbell out in June and said over Instagram, do you have an eating disorder? And I remember being offended at that child and knowing I'd seen some disordered eating, but I never thought it could be because at this point we weren't at the hospital level. You know, we were just, it was this low hum.
But you had lost weight, Campbell.
Oh, tons of 14 weight.
Pounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I remember from the first time that I like started weighing myself, it was insane. I think I had lost around probably from December to August, I'd lost like 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. But on someone with like a 5'3 frame, a teenager, yeah. a growing teenager
who'd gone gluten-free. So it was like all these inflammation markers. I was just like, well, I mean, she's gone gluten-free.
She's healthy. And
she's healthier than she was. I mean, she's paying more attention to what she's eating. So it was... And that's why eating disorders get diagnosed at holidays because grandparents see grandchildren
for the first time.
And they're like, what happened? And
parents don't notice.
They don't notice because they're living
it's gradual
with us.
Too.
It is so gradual.
I mean, what'd you do with that feeling? I think she has this, that you pushed away. Why do we as parents do that?
I don't know, Dave. I mean, I think there's some shame involved. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there was just like, not my kid. I don't think this is our story. And then my friend, we went to the lake, my friend Ginger, and she had a college roommate who had an eating disorder. And she said, Rachel, she was like, I had never Googled it because I wasn't thinking.
The
I was like,
hole.
She's cold. You know, she's got a thyroid. It was like anything but that. But yeah. I think my spirit knew. And Ginger said she's got
Lanugo. So when you go into malnourishment, it actually happens a lot in children impoverished. Lanugo is basically your body's last resort at keeping warm. And it's this long, frail hair that grows from your head to your toe. Mm-hmm. Really long, wiry hairs that grow all over your body. And I had that coating my whole body.
So Ginger tells you that.
She said she ate lettuce with mustard on it. And that is very classic anorexic.
So embarrassing.
Campbell's covering her face.
Yeah. She said, Rachel, I'm telling you, she's got anorexia.
Mm. What'd you feel?
Well, we already had an appointment that Monday at the pediatrician because it had gotten to the place where she was like refusing to eat meals and I was really struggling to get her to eat breakfast. And I was like, I'm just kind of over this resistance. Like, we got to go get some big guns to help us.
And Campbell, you were at the point where you didn't even want to eat at times.
So I would throw up.
Mm-hmm.
So if I ate, I threw up. But I think the longest time that I went without eating was like 3 days.
Nothing.
Just water.
And so when your mom was asking you, like,
to
hey.
Eat, I'd be like, I'm eating, I swear.
Oh, and so you wouldn't get.
I had so many things that she never
secrets.
Noticed.
Oh,
she
secrets.
Would buy these, like, we went to my cousin's wedding. And she was like, gotta eat more protein, Campbell. Like, your thyroid's so messed up. And I was like, I'm just not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she bought me this smoothie. Mm-hmm. We went, okay, I remember this exact thing that happened. This was like one thing that I think if she would have known, she would have been like, we're going to the doctor right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like, we were in the line at Tropical Smoothie, okay? And she was like, let's get breakfast. And I was like, shaking, like literally shaking. And she was like, what's wrong with you? Like, there's something wrong. But I'm sitting in the thing and I'm like trying to find like the lowest calorie smoothie on the thing. And like all of them are like over 100, which is like, no, that's too much. Like, that is the dumbest thing ever. But anyway, so she got me this smoothie and she's like, you have to get protein. So she added protein powder. And of course, like this already like terrifying smoothie, like shaking. And then she adds more calories to it. What? No, this will not enter my body. So of course I take a sip and it's like the greatest thing I've put in my mouth in the past 6 months. But like,
yeah,
I'm like, this is disgusting and gritty. And too sweet. It tastes like sugar.
That's what you
sugar
told your mom.
Is bad. Yeah. Anyway, so I threw it away. I made her take me to Walmart and get like, I don't know, like non-fat, like not
but
triggered.
It was just constant Greek yogurt. Me trying to figure out and just, you know, all this jockeying, like food jockeying. And she was eating dinner with us, putting it in napkins, throwing it
spinning
away.
It up.
Right in front of us.
In front of
and
her.
And I didn't I don't know how, because I'm like an eagle eye, but I missed it. I just missed it.
I would chew it up, wipe my mouth, spit it into the napkin, put it in my pocket.
So Campbell, talk to the moms that are listening that are wondering about their daughter. Like
some warning signs, maybe. Yeah. I would say some of the earliest warning signs would be starting to weigh yourself and things. I actually brought some with me. If you can look at those real fast. Some of the big ones would be...
And were these true for you as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tons of them are true for me. Like dressing in layers, like sweatpants, sweatshirts, or like...
Which is really
clothes.
Common.
Right. Teenagers are wearing.
Yeah, and it's so common, but you couldn't tell I'd lost weight for the longest time because all I would wear were sweatshirts and sweatpants and like covering my head even because like I looked like horrible. And like a preoccupation with like fat grams and dieting and like making, I feel fat.
Well, walk us back to how did you end up hospitalizing Campbell, Rachel?
Yeah, well, we went to the dietitian and it was insanely hard to get a treatment team. I will say any parent
who's in... It's not easy at all.
It is so not easy. And the reality is for parents, it's trust your gut and be aggressive because I was not as aggressive.
Amen.
I was aggressive getting a treatment team, but honestly, the eating disorder was so attached that no treatment team could have helped Campbell outside of a treatment center. And I think that is the reality for most parents is we want to just keep them in the home. We know for mental health that is better.
Every single parent that we talk to does not want to send their kid away.
They don't.
Why is that? Because it feels too traumatic? Worried that that will scar them as well?
Yeah. But it saved her life. And that's what I look back is I'm like, do the hard thing now so that she can live.
Were you glad to be hospitalized, Campbell? Or were you mad?
The other day, my mom said to me, she said, when is the moment of your life where you feel the most loved? And I was like, the day you hospitalized me.
What?
Did you feel it then?
No.
No?
I hated her. So I feel like that is something that we should go into because...
Yeah.
The mom is the bad guy. I'm just going to put it that way. My mom was like, I'm going to be the strong arm. I'm going to lead us through this. And I hated her for it. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk to her. I did not love you anymore. Like,
no.
I had a hate wall for her.
Rachel, how hard was that?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I didn't know this until about 3 months ago.
Until about 3 minutes ago.
I mean,
three months.
It's so funny.
And we can go into the...
I kicked you out on Thanksgiving. I don't know how much clearer you can get than that.
I mean, I got kicked out of the 1 hour visit a week on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, she was like, you can leave now. And I was like, are you even serious? Like, I mean...
Did she walk out and cry?
Yeah, I mean, it was devastating. Campbell was like thrilled to get me out of here because she needed someone to blame. And I knew that was happening.
I hope my dietitian was listening. Do this right
now. I think the reality is, you know, between me and God, we were kind of one and the same in Campbell's mind. Like, I'm mad at God and I'm mad at you, and you're just here on earth, so I'm just really going to be mad at you. But yeah, I had a hate wall.
Were you mad at God?
Yes. I flushed the Bible down the toilet.
Yeah, she flushed pages out of the Bible. I mean, just the wrath and the anger.
What was your anger at God about? Mm-hmm. You feel like it was his fault?
I think I just had a lot of anger that my parents would even do this to me. Like, I have not been to my house in 3 months.
Right.
Okay. I am getting weighed every morning and having my blood drawn every 5 minutes. And I have a tube in my stomach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't get to choose. I have no choice. Mm-hmm. I have no free will.
Yeah.
I'm monitored. I have a security camera in my room. I have anti-suffocation sheets.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go anywhere without getting followed by a heart monitor.
Yeah.
I got home. That first night, refused to eat.
Out of treatment for 3 months. And that first night, December 14th, I'll never forget it.
Yeah, screaming, crying. They were like, you can't have your phone in the bathtub. And I was like, I hate you. I'm never talking to you again. I'm not eating my snacks.
Screaming in her room. And they were, you know, they had given us a protocol. Like, these are the things that need to happen if she doesn't do what she needs to do. Take the door off the hinges.
Put the mattress in your bedroom.
Yeah, put the mattress in your room. You know, there were all these things.
Rachel,
and I was like, I know.
I mean, no wonder you said this is the hardest thing you've gone through.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think she gets out of treatment and in my head, she's going to be healed. We're going to start eating meals together. It was the holidays, which adds a whole nother layer to food issues with kids, because it's like you got to see the grandparents and you got to go home and you got to do all these happy things.
Which we
and
didn't
we're
do.
Anything but happy. And so we had to make that hard decision to not go and do Christmas. Like, it was just the four of us, which was very difficult for me. I'd never not been in my hometown, but it was just
hard.
Honestly, it was really traumatic for me and for Rod, because we'd given her what we felt like was the best option to heal. And then she comes out after all these hard things and she's still not healed. And I'm like, what are we going to do? And I think every parent feels that. We were trying to decide, do we do partial hospitalization, outpatient? Yeah, there's all these terms, PHP and OP.
You want your kid back.
And I just wanted her to see, can we do it with just a counselor? And what we quickly found, and, you know, and I would say this was our mistake. We didn't send her to partial hospitalization.
Looking back, I wish I would have gone.
From 8 to 4 every day, where she ate 2 meals. She was forced to be there. She had to do the treatment. She had to be with other girls. But honestly, treatment had been so traumatic. I just want to get her out of this place. And the reality really was, it was saving her life. So we
and Kimbo,
caused ourselves a lot more pain by not just staying and doing PHP. So I will say that to any parent. But tell them about when you went to camp, because that was the turning point.
From around like December to March, April, May, I was still very, very deep in my disorderedness and just lacking for control and socialization and just all of these things. And I was like, I want to go to camp. And my dietitian was like, this is not a good idea. Like, you are just not okay. And I was like, whatever, major loser. Like, I'm going to camp and there's nothing you can do to stop me. So I went to camp and there was like no food. All right. There was like what? Like scrambled eggs, chickpeas, and ranch dressing? Like, that's disgusting.
A little harder for the gluten-free fare.
I was just like living my life, eating what I could. And then we go ziplining and they had to like weigh us. I went in the bathroom after that and I was like so anxious because I knew like this is going to be bad. So I immediately slipped back on my tennis shoes, run to the van, grab every single food that I could get, shoved it down my mouth. And I was like, food is nourishment, Campbell. And that's when it hit me. I don't need to be skinny to have fun.
Right. Mm.
I don't need to be skinny. Just period. I can just be me.
Mm-hmm.
I can just be Campbell. And food is like really, really, really good. Mm. So it was over for me. And that moment, I was like, the low weight on the scale no longer equated to my happiness. It scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I knew, this isn't me anymore.
Mm.
I don't want to be this thin.
Where did Jesus come into this? Because you talked about
this was actually
scripture.
Yeah, this is a Christian camp. So I was just kind of like doing the things, going through the motions for the first like 3 days or whatever. And at the end, I was like, who does God say that I am? Like that song is like a like peak for me. But
the Lauren Daigle song.
Yes. It's like, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am loved. And like reading through the Bible and who God says we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are his chosen children. We are beautiful, wonderfully made. There's just all of these things that God says that we are. And I just kind of like thought, I was like, Jesus, like, what do you have for me?
Mm-hmm.
What is left for me? I have no friends. Like, I am lonely. Mm-hmm. All I have left is my eating disorder. Who am I without my eating disorder? And he was like, you're beautiful. You are creative. You were loved. I just got all of these pictures in my head of all the things that I used to love to do.
Mm.
Like art and cooking and dancing and listening to music and like just all of these things that made me so passionate for life and like just give me that like zest for living. Mm. And it's just like so much more than what I've been living for.
Mm.
Is this really what I've been wasting my life on?
Mm.
Like, what if I just kind of like switched my trajectory a little bit? Like, what if I just started living for God?
Mm.
And I got home and I was like, I think I'm going to do that.
Wow.
So that's kind of what happened to me at camp.
I mean, Rachel, when she came home, did you see a difference?
I did. Yeah. I mean, she was very partnered with the Lord and with food. And she was sharing bits of it with us, like just breadcrumbs.
I used to be very embarrassed about it. So back in July. I was just very like embarrassed that I had kept it up for this long.
There's a lot and of there was shame a lot of grief. I think that's the thing that we're going through. Mm. Even, you know, even now, like there's grief for what I missed. I missed our 15th birthday. And even this week, like we had our 16th birthday with our friends and there was grief attached to it.
Yeah, that was really difficult for me.
I bet.
Having my birthday party and I was feeling all these confusing feelings. And it's actually really difficult to articulate how you feel when you're on an antidepressant.
Yeah.
Because you're just very numbed. And you're not feeling everything 100%. Everything's kind of suppressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to articulate that and then not being very good at it and then frustrating.
Yeah.
Your mom gets frustrated because she doesn't understand what you're feeling. She goes through all this work to make your birthday special. And you are just like this emotional train wreck. Like, sorry, it makes me really, makes me emotional because,
okay.
I like wasted so long trying to like be something that wasn't meant for me. And once I got to treatment, I felt so alone. And I was just like, how is this my life? Like, why am I here? I'm alone. Like, I don't have any friends. And I'm just sitting here on this couch and like haven't eaten this food. And I just don't know what I'm doing here. And like my parents weren't there. And at the time I had like a boyfriend situation and like I felt really loved by him and he kind of like just loved me for who I was.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's not here and nobody's here. And I just, and then I was really, really feeling that the other day. I was just like, I feel so much grief for that girl sitting in that room by herself. Alone on her 15th birthday when she should be out playing with her friends, getting her permit. And like, and I'm like, now I'm 16 and I'm living the life that I've always wanted.
You're not only doing that, but you're impacting others and you're giving people hope that maybe they're in it and you're saying like, Jesus can help you get out of this. Like, you're super brave to be able to talk about this. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you for having us on.
I wanted to, you said that John 21:25. Why do you like it? It says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Why that one?
Because I love Jesus so much. And I think that that's so real. Anytime anybody asks me, like, why are you a Christian? You have every reason not to be. I'm like, have you even picked up the Bible? Have you ever prayed before? Like, the most meaningful I love you is the one from Jesus. And I feel like once you really realize, like, he died for you. He got stabbed for you, lived for you. And he still loves you. And if you wrote all the words you could use to describe how much God loved you, there aren't enough books to fill it. And
really
it's probably one of my favorite verses ever.
The most meaningful I love you is the one from Jesus. That is such wisdom from someone so young. And you know, authenticity is one of the best character traits that largely defines the next generation. And Campbell is a wonderful example of that. I really appreciate her vulnerability and honesty in sharing her story. And I hope it's really encouraged you to pursue authenticity with the people in your life as well. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with Rachel Faulkner Brown and Campbell Brown on Family Life Today. You know, if you found that maybe you could relate a little bit to this story, maybe relate a lot to this story, or you know someone who has dealt with these issues specifically, we wanted to let you know that Sissy Goff, a licensed therapist and author, has written a book called The Worry-Free Parent, Living in Confidence So Your Kids Can Too. This book is really ideal for parents seeking practical guidance and tools on how to break free from some of the things that you heard today, including anxiety, anxiety and the stresses that come with living in a culture like the one we do today. This book by Cissy Goff is going to be our gift to you when you give today. You can get your copy now with any donation that you give online at familylifetoday.com. You just click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page, or you can give us a call with your donation at 800-358-6329. Again, that number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And feel free to drop us something in the mail if you'd like to. Our address is 100 Leichhardt Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32832. Now, I just mentioned Cissy Goff, and she gives expert advice for parents who really need proactive approaches and emotional well-being tips on how to deal with some of the things that we've presented in the last 2 days here on Family Life Today. And Cissy Goff is going to join us tomorrow with Rachel Faulkner Brown and Campbell Brown to talk about crucial topics like eating disorders, body image, and mental health in children. We hope you'll join us for that tomorrow. On behalf of Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.